Amen. I'm going to go ahead and say be seated. We have a little longer reading this morning, so just to make it easier to focus on the text. Last week and this week, we're taking 2 weeks to look at some important moments at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, and now this one just after that earthly ministry. We looked last week at the ascension of Jesus into heaven, and today, which was 40 days after his resurrection, and now 10 days later, Pentecost. It was part of the feast, one of the feasts of Israel. But now, as we say, the day of Pentecost, what we're thinking of is when Jesus from heaven pours out his Spirit on his church. So I'd love to read the whole chapter of Acts chapter 2. It seemed prohibitive in length to do that. Let me encourage you to read it all. I'm not editing it because those are unimportant parts. I'm just focusing our reading on what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're going to read a little bit from Luke, a little bit from Acts 1, and then part of Acts chapter 2, and let's turn our attention to it. From Luke chapter 24, this is after the resurrection and prior to the ascension, Jesus said to his followers, he, that is Jesus, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now in chapter 1 of Acts, also after the resurrection and prior to the ascension, Luke describes the events going happening. And while staying with them, with his followers, he, that is Jesus, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now we pick up in Acts 2, the events now after the ascension. Luke tells us, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes, and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The patriarch David, their forefather, an earlier king in Israel, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. This is graduation season. It's a new day coming for those who have just graduated, Nathaniel and Faith and Nate Moore from high school. Some of you of our residents who are graduating and going into a new day, a new place to serve, to live. It's as if one day is coming to an end, that day of training, of preparation, either in general or even for your calling. And now a new day to put it into practice is about to open for your residents. A new day where you stop serving so many hours for so little pay to be able to be paid what you deserve. A new day. The old day is gone. The new day has come. And Pentecost, like the graduation season, Pentecost indicates such a new day for the church and, I would suggest, for the world. It is not the beginning of God's work of reconciliation that began so long ago, back in the garden, as he announced the promised reconciliation through the seed of the woman. It is not the beginning or the birth of the church, as some have supposed, because from the very foundations, very beginnings in Genesis, people began to call on the name of the Lord. God has been at work. But Pentecost indicates a new season, a new day in that work. And what happened here at Pentecost that is described for us by Luke is so profound that it is as if one day has come to a conclusion and a brand new day has opened up and begun. With that in mind, I want to look at this text, particularly the second chapter here of Acts, the parts of it that we read, and make a few observations for our thoughts this morning. You'll see on page 11, I've given you just a couple pointers. It's about. Pentecost is about, Pentecost is for, and then so what? So, the meaning of Pentecost, the purpose for Pentecost, and what does that mean for us? That's where we're going this morning. Let's start with the meaning. What is it about? What is this event about? And the first thing I want to say to you is this: Pentecost is not primarily about what the disciples are doing. That's what we tend to focus on. What they're doing, what's going on for them. But that's not what it's really about. What Pentecost is about, as it's described here and explained here to us, is what Jesus is doing. What he is continuing to do now that he is raised into heaven, ascended into heaven, and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now, what is he doing here on the earth? And Pentecost is all about what Jesus is doing. And that is the first and the fundamental thing that we need to understand about Pentecost, and that is so often misunderstood. It's not so surprising that that's misunderstood, because look what happens even on the day that it occurs. There is confusion about what is going on. They hear this sound, they see this, what's going on, and people come from far and wide, people who have come to Jerusalem for another purpose, gather around the disciples, and they're confused, they're perplexed. What is happening? Even those who saw it couldn't interpret it accurately and didn't understand it. No wonder it's surprising and confusing to us today. And what I want you to see is even in that day, they needed a reliable interpreter to explain to them these strange events that were going on. No wonder we, even though with so many different interpretations of these, we need reliable interpretation to understand. And what do we find here? Who is the reliable interpreter of the event? It is the one who understands and points them to Scripture. The same thing that gives us clarity about what's going on here. It's Peter who stands up. Now, when Peter stands up to speak, I think what you're supposed to do, you know, if we're reading Acts as a two-volume set, like he says at the beginning of Acts 1, that this is my second book to you, we're reading this as one whole. When Peter stands up there that day with the 11, here's what you're supposed to remember immediately. Back in Luke 24, what did Jesus do before he ascended? He opened their minds. Peter and the 11, those with them. He opened their minds, what? To understand the Scriptures. And then we're told there in Luke 24 that he gave them a three-point grid by which to understand what had been written in the Scriptures. That it was about the Christ who would suffer, about the Christ who would rise from the dead, and about the Christ who would be proclaimed in the world for the forgiveness of sins to all nations. And I think as Peter stands, what we're to realize is here is Peter, whose mind has been opened to the Scriptures, and it's clear as he begins to speak, he's just bringing Scripture after Scripture. We weren't able to read them all this morning, but go and read it this afternoon. And he's bringing from the Scriptures what an explanation of what is happening even here. And you can almost see in his mind, he's ticked off his grid. This is not about the suffering of the Christ, what we're seeing here. This is not about the rising of Christ from the dead. This must be about the proclamation of Christ to all nations. That's what's going on here. That's what Jesus is doing. He's equipping us for that proclamation. And so he stands and he both interprets it from Scripture for them to understand, and he becomes the first living example of that proclamation now that comes from the Spirit-empowered people of God. Pentecost is all about what Jesus is doing. I think we're to think of it like this. Here is now, following his ascension, here is another one of those great and mighty miracles and works of God that Jesus himself is doing. This time he's not taking bread and multiplying it and fish and multiplying it in a miraculous way so that everybody could eat there, saying, you know, the provision is from him. Here he's not saying, he's not healing a blind man who was blind from birth, and he's saying, I am the way to see who God is. I give sight to the blind. But here he is saying, here in this miraculous way, this miracle where people who didn't study a language, didn't grow up learning a language, didn't go to school for that language, are able to speak other language, not confusion, but other languages so that others can hear the mighty acts of God. Here Jesus is doing that great, that next miracle to open their ability that wasn't theirs by nature, wasn't theirs by practice, that they could do what he is calling them to do, that they could proclaim forgiveness of sins in him, that they could call for repentance. And that's exactly what Peter does, and that's exactly what Peter says. Jesus is working another of his great miracles, and this one is indicating what's going on at Pentecost. And what is that? It's telling us, in a sense, that Babel is being overcome. Do you remember where Babel was back in Genesis? It was the place where our rebellion against God found its unity and height, and our fist shaking its hand at God, seeking to find a way ourselves to reach and breach heaven on our own work, our own merit, and our own strength. And what does God do at Babel? He frustrates the plans of the rebellion. And he does that by putting a barrier between people that would both isolate them and separate them. And it was to cause them to speak in other various languages so one people from another would not understand, would not be able to gather together and succeed in their rebellion against God. Sin had separated. Sin had isolated. And the miracle that Jesus performs on this day is telling us something very profound about that. It's telling us that now a new day has dawned, a day for the rolling back of the Babel barrier, not in causing everyone to speak a new language, but that the barrier that came from the sin and the rebellion of Babel will not stop the work of this risen, exalted King. Pentecost announces that in Christ and through the gospel, people are no longer driven away and apart, but in Him they are being gathered together and united under Him. A powerful and a miraculous indication that even our own sin and rebellion against God that has divided us deeply, as we see in a variety of language and culture, divisions that exist between us, even that sin that has caused such barriers, that deep divide is now overcome. It's bridged by the risen and reigning King, even Jesus. And so Jesus' miracles, like all of his miracles, has a point. It is to announce that this new day has come. Babel is being undone under this King. The rebellion is coming to an end. And under him, this unity, this common ability to hear, to gather, to worship him together, is the new reality. That's what Pentecost is about. Now, what is it for? What is the purpose of Pentecost? That's the second thing we'll look at briefly. What is Pentecost for? Pentecost is not primarily for, and again, we often get this wrong, it's not primarily for the personal joy and happiness of the disciples. It's not so they can go back to their homes or the pub at night and high-five each other. Wasn't that awesome? We did all that stuff. We didn't even have to study, but we spoke all these crazy languages. Wasn't that sweet? God is with us. Now, I don't mean to say that the coming of the Spirit is not a comfort to God's people. He is the counselor. He is the comforter. He is the guarantee which assures us and gives us hope. All those things are true, but that is not the purpose of his coming at Pentecost. That is not what we are told is the reason that he comes. It's a fruit of his coming, but it's not the reason for his coming. What is the reason then for his coming if it's not for us and for our pleasure and happiness? The reason for his coming, we're told here, is for the worldwide proclamation of the gospel to all nations. To all nations. Jesus sends the Spirit of God to the people of God for a reason, for a purpose. He comes to his people to continue the very same work that he was doing, engaged in, accomplishing when he was here in his physical body. And now he is going to continue that work of reconciliation, that work of salvation. He's going to continue it in a new way through the dwelling of his Spirit in his people. He will continue that work of salvation, the same work that he is. It's not everything that he does as the divine word, as the governor, the creator and governor of the world. He continues to do all that. It doesn't bind him. It doesn't limit him. But he says, in this way, through my presence in my people, I will continue my work that I began in my physical life. The work I accomplished, I completed, now will be continued in this way. And so I will come and continue that work. And you see, what the Spirit's coming does is to empower them. I will send you power from on high. It will empower them. It will equip them to do what? To bear witness to the truth. To proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all nations. It is that we might be a people who are able to declare this spiritual thing that is impossible to understand without the Spirit presence and work, that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that he has brought a way to be reconciled to our Creator himself. This gift of the Spirit poured out on them enables them to bear witness and to announce the means of reconciliation with God. Some of you have read R.B. Kuyper's book, God-Centered Evangelism. It's getting to be an old book now. But he says it like this: through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church became a witnessing church. It's exactly what Jesus had promised back in our reading in 1:8, Acts 1:8, before his ascension. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so what will be the result of that power? Just, you know, joy, happiness, our own pleasure. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the ends of the earth. The power that is received is to be the witnesses in the world. And in Acts 2, Luke describes it. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, what the Scriptures are telling us that we are to do is not to focus so much on the outward phenomenon, the fire, the wind, the tongues. That's interesting, but without interpretation, it's confusing, even as it is amazing. Not to so much focus on that outward phenomenon, but on the result of the coming of the Spirit, which is that all heard in their own language the mighty acts of God in salvation, as Christ has proclaimed. And you see, so now with the coming of the Spirit, wherever they go, wherever they are, no matter the time of day, the season of the year, the place they are in the world, the century in which they live, he, Jesus, is with us by his Spirit. And he is working through our proclamation of him to bring his salvation to the world. That's our calling. It's our work, our service to our King. And that is what Pentecost is for. To be those who are able to participate in the work that Jesus Christ is doing from the throne that we just sang about, bringing all his enemies under his feet. What Pentecost is about and what it's for. So let's ask that then question, so what for us today? I want you to there's three takeaways that I want you to have as you consider at least this portion of Acts chapter 2. Three takeaways I want you to consider. The first takeaway is for you, and it's this: give thanks to God for the gospel. It is because of Pentecost and what Jesus did at Pentecost that it came to you. You see, everyone who was there were people from all nations under heaven. That means all that existed at the time. If there had been an English speaker there, they didn't speak English in that day, so there wasn't. But if there was an English speaker there, we would have heard the gospel preached to us in English. And so would you in your native tongue. The gospel has come to you and has reached you in part and because of what Jesus did at Pentecost by sending his Spirit to his people that the gospel might be proclaimed throughout the world. It has come to you because the gospel is for all people. Whatever race, whatever ethnicity, whatever country, your country of origin, the offer of forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name is for you. A new day has dawned. The message is no longer, salvation is of the Jews, so go there and find out about it. The message is even not any longer, we have found the Messiah, come and see him. The message now is, God has raised and exalted this same Jesus whom you crucified to the place of Lord. And so now, regardless of who you are and where you are, you can hear his voice that is now present among his people as he is proclaimed. You can hear his voice and you can follow him because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that includes you. Without making a trek to Israel, without learning Aramaic or Hebrew, today when you hear that Jesus saves, that he is the way and the truth and the life, that we come to the Father through him, when you hear that, when you are told to receive and believe, when you do that, you too will have peace with God. So give thanks to God for the gospel that because of Pentecost has come to us, to you. The second takeaway that I would have from Pentecost is this, simply to recognize that this is a new day, not just for you, but for the entire world. Why? Well, think of it like this. If you came in here in the middle of the night one time and didn't turn on the lights, you were in this large room in the dark. Now imagine in that pitch dark room where there's no lights, where you can't see anything, imagine one candle being lit and placed on the stage. Well, now you can see. But you probably can't read a book over here, but if you go over to the stage and get right near it, you could probably read that book. There's light in the room. And you see, Pentecost is the difference between that one light in a dark room and having the entire room filled with candles and torches and lamps being lit up the entire room. You see, because before Pentecost, there was light in the world. But it was in one place in Israel, and you had to go there to learn of the light in the world. And in its final fullness, the light was in the world, finally in one person, the Messiah, as a representative and the person of the light. But you had to go and find him if you wanted to hear and see the light of the world. Remember the Magi? They saw the star, they followed, they came to Bethlehem, or they came to Jerusalem. Where else would the king be but in the palace? No, he's not here. The light was in the world, as John says. No, he's not here. Try Bethlehem in Judea. Maybe he's over there. So they went there. Then they saw him, the light of the world. You had to go to him. But now, as he indwells his people, the tongue of fire coming and separating, coming on each one, and the Holy Spirit filled each one of them. Now as they are sent by him into the world, throughout the world, wherever they are and they proclaim him, the light is shining. He is speaking. He is announcing his reign. It is a new day for the world. And since Pentecost, at least since Pentecost, it was mentioned before, but since Pentecost, it is abundantly clear that God is calling an all nations people to himself, a people from every tongue, every tribe, every language, every nation. Pentecost is the reason that we have said we want this local congregation to be a reflection of that kingdom of God, that work of Christ in the world today, where everyone in the sound of our hearing, whoever is here from all nations and from every place who has been brought here by God's providence, we desire them to hear the gospel and to believe and to receive forgiveness of sins and gather and worship him with us. So we want to be an all nations people of God in the Hershey area. It is a new day for the world. That's my second takeaway from Pentecost. My third takeaway is this. If all that is true, then it's just simply this. Will you start participating in what Jesus is doing in the world today? Reconciliation now happens as the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is proclaimed. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. As that's proclaimed to the nations, he is at work to call people to himself. So what do I take from that? Then do it. That is our calling. There are other things that you may be doing in life, using gifts. It's not to say you can't continue to use those. It might not become your profession, but this is our calling as a people to proclaim him. So are we proclaiming him? Proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to the varied people and places that he, in his providence, places you. Now, I think this is especially important for us to mention today, to say today, in a day when, in a recent Barna study, they have said, they've come to the conclusion that many people today, particularly young believers, those that they would say was in the millennial generation, but younger believers, we are beginning to identify as Christians and feel equipped and able to answer the questions that are made of the faith, and yet are beginning to think that maybe evangelism is the wrong thing to do. It's not appropriate. We're taking the spirit of the age, aren't we? People who are identifying as Christian but reject the calling, the work of evangelism. They put it like this in the beginning of their study. We post Instagram novellas of what we had for dinner. Have you posted on Instagram what you had for dinner recently? We post novellas about that. But in an interesting twist of our time, U.S. Christians or American Christians are losing a desire to share their faith. But you see, what I want you to see here is that to identify as a Christian, but to believe that evangelism or the proclamation of Jesus Christ is wrong is to misunderstand many things about the creation, about our humanity, but to misunderstand many things about the Christian faith. But it is perhaps most significantly an misunderstanding of Pentecost and what is going on at Pentecost and what Jesus is doing and calling us to do because of Pentecost. So I'm asking you today, as we conclude, will you wrestle with Pentecost a little bit with me? I'm calling for you to understand and to believe what Pentecost says to us. I'm calling for you to readjust your thinking. I'm calling for you to proclaim this good news about Jesus in the Hershey area to all the Lord brings to you, to all the places he sends you, to proclaim him, to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. And I'm calling on you to begin to pray more in earnest that the Lord himself would add people to our number to make us an all nations people who, through our spirit-empowered proclamation, have come to experience the forgiveness of sins in his name. Will you pray that with me? And will you give yourself to this calling? That is why Jesus sent his spirit to all of us who believe. Father, we thank you for your wisdom to send your son into this world to do what we could not do through his life. your wisdom to raise him from the dead when he offers his body as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice put to death for us. Father, we are amazed at your wisdom to accept his sacrifice on our behalf in payment for the debt that we have, the death penalty on our heads you allow to fall on him in our place. And Father, we are amazed at your proclamation that you have accepted his sacrifice for us by raising him from the dead and by welcoming him in again to your very presence and bodily sitting him on your throne. Lord Jesus, we are amazed that you would so love us to make us your children, make us your brothers and sisters in the faith. We are amazed that you would equip us to be your body now on the earth, to continue your work through the proclamation of the gospel. Speak through us. Work your will by our proclamation. And form and call and make a people glorious in your sight, even here among the Hershey people, that we would join that eternal song in praise of you and our God. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We conclude our service in a way of proclaiming the death of Christ until he comes together at this table that he instituted for us. This table is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not our table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It's not Hershey PCA's table. It is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ that we administer in his name. We invite you, if you're one of his, to come and to partake with us of this sign and seal of his grace and work in your life. If you are not one of his, let this part of the service pass. We invite you to stay and be here to rejoice with us, to let it speak to you of your need for Jesus as your Savior. But if you are one of his and have professed that faith publicly and been received into the number of his people, let me ask you and invite you today, as the elements are being distributed, to reflect on Pentecost this morning. Use this time to consider two things as the elements come to you. First, Pentecost is calling you to come to Jesus yourself, to hear the good news again, to reflect on your assurance and your confidence in him. Come to Jesus repenting of your sin, perhaps even things of this past week, and lay them before him. It's not hidden from his sight, but come and confess that to him. Honor him by confessing it to him and rest in him alone in your forgiveness, the forgiveness of your sins. Come to him and find rest today in him, confidence in him, renewal in him. In a few moments, we're going to sing a song called Hear the Call of the Kingdom. And that first thing that I'm asking you to consider is found in verse 1. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the king. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came in Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Let that song arise in you this morning as you wait for the elements to come. That's one thing. Or a second thing, will you allow this time to reflect on Pentecost, that it is calling on you not only to come to Jesus, but to go into all the world, the places that he has called you, to the Hershey area and all the world, to proclaim him. Verse 3, hear the call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost with the Father's compassion in the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust in him. And so today, let your reflection lead to this answer. King of heaven, we will answer the call. We will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name, not in ourselves, in him.